And now, part two of our conversation with Patrick Helen.
Now, I have a guess at the answer to this next question, but we like to ask everyone what their community superpower is. And before I guess, I want to hear what you have to say.
Arrogance. Mostly arrogance. Because I'm just fantastic, is what it comes down to. No, it's humor. It really is. It's humor and reading situations, I think, are the two faceted sides. And it's what I use the most. And the way I use it in a lot of cases, and this was sort of one of the things that I talked about in the community manager superpower thing, is that I read people as it's almost like a hobby. Like I am very interested in other people when I meet them. I ask super, super, super awkwardly long lists of questions about like everything. And I'm actually interested in learning more about people. And part of that conversation and part of that interaction is in a humorous bent. Like, I'm not going to ask people like really deep questions about like, hey, let's talk about your religious background. Hey, let's dive right into why Obama is awesome and or terrible and or a secret Muslim. Like, none of that stuff comes up in these types of conversations, because the light humor level that you can use in those conversations is I think really advantageous.
So definitely, I think humor is a part of it, but I think you're able to use that humor because of your self-awareness. And I think this is an important skill for community managers. In order to really listen and in order to really have genuine, authentic conversations, you need to be self-aware. And I think, you know, you've got that one nailed. So that's what I'd say.
Yeah, I had no idea that I was self-aware, so that's pretty good. See, that was the humor coming back. I agree with you. I've done, there's a lot of inner navel gazing that you have to do as a community manager, in that you kind of have to second guess everything you do for a little while until you just kind of get to a point where you kind of get past that fear quotient of like, oh my God, is this next post going to screw up a major deal or release information that shouldn't be out there? And eventually get to a point where you're like, listen, I've got enough under the belt that I'm probably okay. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna see what happens. And part of, I think building on sort of the self-awareness thing, is that part of it is that you start to ask for forgiveness in a lot of cases instead of permission, which is so cliche and so overused. But I think it really helps, because if you have enough sort of confidence or expertise or belief in the things that you're doing and the way that you're doing them, you might not need to be in a position where you're like constantly kind of checking or getting air cover or, you know, going to whoever your superiors are and saying, hey, I'm going to talk about this or talk about that. I think it becomes a much more, organic conversation in a lot of ways. And people realize and people feel that sort of that honesty very, very easily, you know, similar to the conversation we just had about when you put a fake post up to try to drive some controversy. People see right through it. And so if you're aware enough to be funny, let's say, and you're also aware enough to know that sometimes just putting something out there to try to see what the engagement level is, or, you know, being a little bit more blatantly honest than you would be normally, sometimes that's a huge help. Sometimes that makes it a better conversation.
That's such great advice, I think. We hear from a lot of community managers that struggle with the balance between being their authentic self and being the brand or being the voice of the company, or, you know, struggling to find that how funny is okay. And the self-awareness is such a big piece of that. But I love the, you know, ask for forgiveness, not for permission. So
it's kind of an interesting conundrum for a lot of people. But for me, the thing that I've found is that for whatever reason, right, you have a voice of a brand or you have a voice of a company, the company hired you. Like, so they saw something inherent within you that they want you to do what it is you did in your interview. And so if you went into the interview and you're very buttoned up, you didn't kind of like let your personality shine through, then yeah, they're probably cool with you doing that on, you know, Twitter account or community or whatever. For me, that's the first thing. I'm like, you guys have met me. Like, my personality kind of floats through a room long before I actually get to the room. And I make it very clear, like, this is who I am. This is sort of my style. Does that jive with how you want to communicate? People that are okay with it, rock on. People that aren't, well, it's good to get it out front, because I use myself as my own brand, and using my voice through that sort of company brand, I think does, like I said, bring a lot of that authentication, honesty level to it.
Awesome. We know that you are a passionate supporter of Movember, which has such a unique and enthusiastic / rabid worldwide community. Can you share some of your community experiences? Because ultimately what they are is this giant global community that does awesome things. But can you share some of your experiences as part of the movement?
Absolutely. I got started with Movember a couple years back, sort of as a lark. I wasn't actually running anything. I just sort of like joined in because it was big office, peer pressure kind of thing. And then I had some more personal experiences with cancer, which made me kind of sit up and pay attention a lot more. And after that, after, you know, some family members and some experiences there, I was like, you know what, this is a huge, huge thing. And I kind of want to see how deep this rabbit hole goes. And I want to jump in with both feet. And so I sort of decided to take over. I actually did a sort of a bloodless coup of the Movember group at my previous company, in that every year they sort of take away the previous year's company page and you have to like create a new one. So I just created one before anyone else did. And then I just started recruiting, and I did it face to face and I did it online. We had offices in multiple different areas of the world. So I just sort of recruited incessantly. We made videos and we did all this, you know, huge stuff, specifically to build as much buzz around it as possible, but also from the standpoint that we were also building buzz about our company. Like, our company was engaged enough with its employees that they were supporting this. And they were like, we were taking pictures every day to show the slow, gradual progression of all these sketchy mustaches. And so that was sort of the internal community, right? Where I was sort of the internal community manager of Movember. And the experiences I had with that have absolutely benefited my sort of internal or external community management skills, in that I know that things that are a little bit off-putting in some cases, like a terrible sketchy mustache or a fundraiser for something that most people don't want to talk about at dinner, those types of things, if you can put a spin on it in a way that gets people excited and engaged, then Jesus, you can do it with anything. But from the external side, like actually interacting with the Movember community themselves, like, we had people from Movember come out and meet with me. I met with the president of North American Operations. He came and we had a sit down conversation. And like, their sort of connection is that they're in a bit of a unique position, in that they have this incredibly easy job to be passionate about, right? And I think a lot of difficulty for a lot of people is that every day they get up and they go to a job that they might have some passion about. It might be the job itself. It might be the company itself. It might be the people that they work with. But sometimes they don't hit all three. And so the watching like people that believe every word of the community they're working with and want to dive deep in sort of the customer connection and, you know, the fundraiser engagement piece was incredibly inspiring, to a point that it's like, if you can get to that sort of fandom level with your community, sky's the limit. That's kind of a next to impossible task in a lot of cases. So what I sort of have taken away from it is that, well, it doesn't matter if you never get there. It doesn't matter if you never get to a point where your community thinks or interacts with you like you are trying to cure cancer, which is kind of an awesome thing to try to do. If all you're doing is trying to help people with, you know, their software, or trying to help people with getting their orders fulfilled, whatever it might be, whatever strange various different permutations you have on your community, treating it like it's a rock star community isn't hard, but it also makes it's very apparent when you have passion about your community, and it bleeds through to the people that are actually attending it.
I really, really love that advice. I have personally struggled. I've spent the majority of my career in, you know, tech situations, a lot like your tech situations, and, you know, surrounded by people who are doctors or nurses or social workers, and you say like, well, I'm not saving the world. But I love the idea that the passion you can bring to your job is really making the world a better place for those members of your community. I think that is such a high note to end on. So that's just awesome.
Do we have to end?
We don't have to end. Do you have more questions?
Well, I've got a couple of speed round questions just because it's fun.
Go.
Last nice. Movie I saw was I saw The Avengers this weekend in 3D from the third row. Don't do it if you get the chance to. Sit further back. What's your most recent movie?
Let's see. Jeez. I actually don't know. Oh, you know what? It was
Okay.
Grand Budapest Hotel. No, it was Grand Budapest Hotel because I have a 19-month-old, so we have not gone to the movies in a very long time. So he passed out early one night and we were, poking around in HBO On Demand and Grand Budapest was on and I was like, "Yep, we're watching this." And it was just as fantastic as all of Wes Anderson's movies and it was well worth the time.
Yeah, they deserved every single award they got.
Oh, so brilliant.
Hey, and given the space you're in, I've got a book recommendation, so I'm not going to ask you about which book you should read, but I read Countdown to Zero Day, which is all about Stuxnet, and fascinating,
Ooh.
just absolutely fascinating. So I know with a young child, you've got plenty of time to read, so pick it up and devour it.
Actually managed to get a lot of reading in still. We actually have a company book club, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
And the one we're reading right now is Start With Why, which is a very popular TED Talk if anyone's seen it. So we're going to read that and then I'll sit around and try to show each other how intelligent we are and what footnotes we managed to read.
Well, with the CR network, we do a summer book club, so maybe we'll have to compare notes and pick a couple of good ones for this
Absolutely.
summer.
Hell yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We had a blast as always talking with you, Patrick, and we look forward to seeing you in the network.
Thanks, guys.
Hopefully, we'll see you around town as well. Take care.
Absolutely.